been to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with the one and only former offensive lineman for the New York Football Giants, and that is David Deal. Kicking off the season, right? You and I, we're going to be a team every Wednesday afternoon, noon to one. I can't wait. Breaking down football with
great.
You. This is awesome.
I know. It's great to be back doing stuff with the New York Giants as well with Fox this year. So it's great to be back home and doing stuff here. And most importantly, I love answering fan calls and you just hear the passion in their voice and how much they know the X's and O's of football. So it's great to be a part of this and looking forward to doing it every Wednesday.
Absolutely. And the only way that, of course, you can be a part of the show, actually, there's quite a few ways, David, and that is number one, call in 201-939-4513. Also, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, so I'll have your questions, your comments for David, and, of course, everybody watching on Giants.com. So first and foremost, before we do start talking X's and O's, last time I saw you were a little nervous and had nothing to do with football. You were taking your daughter clothes shopping.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing. You have
my daughter
started third grade today, so she was all excited. But yeah, it's quite a different task when you're a 6'6" dad walking into the store of justice and things are blinding you because they're so bright and glittery. But yeah, it's a lot of fun doing things and spending time with my daughter. And I know, like I said, she was super excited to start school and see all of her friends and talk about the summer. And believe me, she loves her Giants too. She bleeds blue and is excited that the season's here as well.
That's awesome. I know that I'd be quite frightened if I was a mom taking my daughter or my son clothes shopping and you were to say, hey, are you done with that dressing room? Because my daughter needs to get
no,
in
there.
Yes, sir. We'll be right
back. I think people are more alert when they walk in and they see me and I'm holding all this clothes that's so small and it's for my daughter. And
I think
it alarms people. And then people are like, well, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm a normal human being just like you. I have to shop for my daughter as well.
So again, really excited to work with David Deal, and I'm sure a lot of people kind of in the same boat you are. School starting again,
Yeah. Kids
going back to school, and what does that mean? The start of the NFL season, and we've been talking a lot about preseason, but now this is the week. Now, we know that Tom Coughlin, as always on Wednesdays at 11 a.m., addresses the media. You can watch that, of course, on MSG. You are doing that show this season with Paul Dottino, so kind of give us some insight, some nuggets in regard to what did you walk away with from that Tom Coughlin press conference earlier this morning?
Obviously, there were a lot of questions about Jason Pierre-Paul coming in on Monday for his first physical. So that was something that Coach Coughlin addressed, but he didn't really talk too much about it. Physically, they did not feel that JPP's hand was ready, so he went back to Florida to train to get himself back prepared and hopefully to join the Giants and to be a part of this team at some point and to contribute. So at least signs were in the right direction that at least he came back. He's talked to the coaches. Coach Coughlin also said they saw film of him working out and doing conditioning. But it's important for him and obviously his hand to get his strength back, to get back into weight training, to see how you can do the push-pull with that hand, minimizing, not having that right ring finger or right index finger. So it's important to see him come back and see where he is physically. So I know the Giants were excited for the first time to actually evaluate him medically.
And what the hand actually looks like.
Yes, yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I had a conversation with OC Manura recently. And so I've spoken to a number of defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
How does a defensive lineman anticipate coming back and playing and being as good as JPP was with no index finger? Who knows, how strong that thumb's going to be because of the pins that were placed in there, and we don't know what the healing process is, and of course the burns that he suffered from the other three fingers. But I heard a lot of optimism from another number of the defensive linemen, David, saying this is just it's going to be a process of learning how his technique differently. But I'm curious, from an offensive lineman's perspective, What do you expect is going to be the biggest challenge for JPP trying to come back and be that vintage JPP?
You know, as an offensive and a defensive lineman, your hands are everything. Inside hand placement, being able to push and pull. And I think the biggest thing that everybody wants to see is when you're an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman that have huge hands like he has, So now you're going to take this right hand and you're going to take away this. How is he going to be able to grab and pull with a brace that he's going to be playing with to maintain that pulling motion when you're inside, getting that hand leverage at the point of attack and run, stacking people, being able to use both hands the same way? And I know personally, I've had my thumb worked on. I've had fingers all broken up, as you can see on the film over here. But the biggest thing is that you have to be able to do it without pain, because once a defensive lineman or offensive lineman sees it, they're going right after that hand. When I had a cast over my thumb after surgery, D linemen were going right after it because they want to test to see where you are physically and if you're going to keep putting your hands inside there and doing those things. It is a great thing, though, that I think that he's come back. He's been back established with the communication with the Giants. They got to see his hand, and now it's on him moving forward to get physically ready to show what he's capable of and if he can come back and contribute to the Giants, because we all know that the Giants need him on the defensive line.
I think it's important to note, because the reports are that, again, he did go home without signing a deal. You know, because he came in once the final cuts of the 53-man roster had been decided, if the Giants were to put him on that non-injury perform list, then he wouldn't be available at all for the entire season. So that was out of the equation. So it's not a knock. I don't think it should be a huge concern per se for Giants fans. I think this is just a matter of, and you alluded to it because of what Tom Coughlin said, him going back to Florida, training, getting ready, because he's hoping that he'll be ready to go more sooner than later.
No question. I think that's the big thing that everybody's hoping for, is that he comes back the next time he comes here, that you hope that the communication from here until then continues. He continues to talk to the Giants where he's at physically. But I think that's the next step, is the next time he comes to the New York Giants facility, he has to be ready to perform on the field immediately.
All right, what else did you take away?
Talking about John Beeson and Victor Cruz, their injuries. Coach Coughlin said John Beeson is going to be out on the field today.
Great.
Practicing, working, which is huge for, obviously, the Giants defense. The middle linebacker position, if anybody remembers Steve Spagnuolo, how much it put on Antonio Pierce to check blitzes, to communicate to the defensive line and to the back end. So we all know how important John Beeson's health is to this defense and what he brings as a leader. If he isn't able to go, that's putting a lot on the shoulders of Unga, who is a young player going on the road, first game in a primetime game up against the Dallas Cowboys and up against a quarterback in Tony Romo, who does everything at the line of scrimmage. He's going to check. He's going to use his voice. He's going to use hand signals. He is going to do everything he can to use the time of the play clock to the offense's advantage, to maintain the control of the football, to see if the defense is going to show their hand, and to put their offense in the best position possible to succeed. So you're going to see a lot of the orchestrations. You're going to see all that. And as a young player, that is a lot to take in.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else before we move on to the call?
Yeah, obviously, the big thing is, you know, everybody.
Victor Cruz, right?
Victor Cruz, his calf. It's going to be a very difficult thing for the Giants to move forward without Victor Cruz.
So he is not practicing today.
He is not practicing, and he still hasn't practiced with that calf. And being around this game, having other players in the locker room throughout my 11-year career, it's not an easy thing to get over a calf, because how important it is, the quick twitch, the flipping with everything that you have. And that's an injury, and that's a part of the body, that muscle that you have to let heal fully, because the last thing you want to do is have Victor Cruz force it, come out early, and then possibly lose him for half the season, let alone possibly the full season. So that's another very, very big blow, where the New York Giants have to find out who's going to step up. Is it going to be Reuben Randall? Larry Donnell at the tight end position has to do a great job down the seams and in the middle of the field to open up things for the rest of this offense. So very important stuff. But I think the first thing that I think we need to address is the unfortunate loss of Tyler Sash, you know, a former teammate of mine, Super Bowl champ. And it was sad news, and it was a sad day yesterday to hear about Tyler at 27 passing away. And I know for myself and anybody who's ever played with him, he was a great guy. He was a great teammate. His attitude and his passion for this game was infectious. And it was a very sad day, because I could just close my eyes yesterday and just see him smiling and flying downfield on kickoff teams. And not only celebrating his success, but also celebrating the success of his teammates. So, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to the Sash family.
Again, you're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live, and Anita Marks and David Deal. We're going to take your calls in a second, 201-939-4513, also hashtag Giants Chat. I will be sharing your tweets throughout the show as well. Before we do go to the calls, curious, because this is really the first time you and I have had an opportunity to work together, and one thing going into the season that I feel needs to happen in order for the Giants to have success is that this offense needs to put a lot of points on the board. I've got some major concerns on the defensive side of the ball. I think in order for the Giants to rack up some W's as opposed to L's, I think this offense needs to be epic. And I think in order for that to happen, we do need to see Victor Cruz on the football field. We do need to see Reuben Randall turn that corner and become that second-round pick the Giants drafted him for, knowing what he can bring to the equation of an offense and a wide receiving core. Agree with me or disagree with me, I'm looking at anywhere between 28 to 32 to 35 points a game, David. I think this offense can do it. And please tell me if you think I'm wrong.
You know what? Looking at this Giants offense on paper, this is a group that statistically could put up record numbers. I mean, you talk Odell Beckham Jr., Victor Cruz, Reuben Randall, Shane Vereen now with Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams in the backfield. They have the talent at the skilled position, but it's all about health. It's all about getting Victor Cruz back on the field so that they cannot double team Odell Beckham Jr. and it spreads the coverage around the field. I mean, if you think back to the 2011 season, having Manningham, Victor Cruz, and having Hakeem Nicks, the balance that it provided to the offensive side of the ball, making coverages spread throughout the field and not being able to bracket to one side of the field, it just opens up the opportunities for each and every player to thrive. But it also just opens up possibilities for the entire offense to throw different wrinkles at defense, to do all different types of dynamic things you can do in this Ben McAdoo offense. But it is all about health, and Victor Cruz is a key piece to this offense being able to thrive and put up those big numbers that they're going to have to a game to help support this defense.
201-939-4513. David, let's head out to the phone lines. We kick it off today with Timothy in New Jersey. Timothy, you're up.
Hi, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Well, after talking with the Giants, they didn't. JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, didn't sign a contract, not a franchise tender. After a 4th of July fireworks accident, how long will be in the sidelines?
Timmy, thanks for the phone call. Again, David, if you just want to explain, you know, the thought process from the JPP camp and the Giants camp as well.
Well, obviously, you know, the JPP camp has gone about things in their own way throughout this entire process. They've gone on to protect and do what they felt was in the best interest of Jason Pierre-Paul. Having said that same interest that they felt for Jason Pierre-Paul may have not been the best interest and may have not been the best interest of the New York Giants. So obviously they've been managing things on their own end. I still think it was a very disappointing thing that Ronnie Barnes and Jesse Armstead was turned down. Just going out there to look at him physically to make sure he was in the best hands of the best doctors. He is not going to be on the sidelines for this game. I think that's one of the last questions he asked. And like I said, it was paramount for JPP to come into this season ready to perform. And this is a big setback, not only for him, because it may have cost him anywhere from $15 million to $60 million, but it's a huge setback for the New York Giants because this defense was relying on him to come out this season and perform to the best of his ability and to prove that he is still an elite pass rusher. And now it's all in question, waiting to see when he's coming back, when he will come back, and if he will be able to come back as the same player.
Who are you expecting to step up? Next man up. We hear that all the time.
You always
in professional
hear next man up.
Sport, right?
Yeah.
But who's the one guy you're keeping an eye on, David, that you're like, you know what? This young man has been given an opportunity, and I think he's really going to step up, and he's really going to grab that brass ring.
I think Robert Ayers has had a very good training camp and preseason. He's shown his veteran leadership. He has got to be able to go after and be able to put pressure on the quarterback. Kerry Wynn is also another player that has to step up into his role. Now his second year, they're going to rely on him to be able to stop the run as well as apply pressure. But I think Demontre Moore is the one that we all need to watch this season and in these games, because are we going to see what we all know, his potential. Is it going to reach production? At some point in your career, you've got to make the potential into production. And at this point in his career, he has got to prove who he is as a football player and prove that he should be the next premier pass rusher in this NFL. And if he doesn't, then that's the knock, and then they're going to have to figure out where they move forward. So this is a big year for DeMondre Moore.
You know, it's interesting you say that. That's going in. I said, you know, one of the questions was asked, who are the two guys, one on offense, one on defense, that you're expecting to really step up? And for me on offense, it's Reuben Randall.
Yep.
And for me on defense, it's DeMondre Moore.
I could agree with you on both of those. This is a huge year for Reuben Randall. You know, last year he had some injuries. He missed some time because he was late for meetings and he wasn't starting last season. He's got to put all that stuff behind him. And this is a huge year for him to step up for the New York Giants. But it's also a huge year in his career because he's playing for a contract. So he needs to show what type of player he is consistently, week in and week out.
Let's go to line two. Mike, you're on board. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome in.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Excellent, Mike. How are you, my man?
Good. I wanted to just say, David, it's an honor to speak to you.
Thank you very much, Mike. Thank you for calling in.
You know, it would be wonderful if we could have five offensive linemen that were you today.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you know, it's pretty tough. It doesn't look good to me. I just want to ask you guys a question about the front office. We signed Lewis Nix, and we signed a cornerback, Asa Jackson, and a day and a half, 2 days later, we're releasing him. Now, Lewis Nix, I understand he's got a bad knee. But in the meantime, you let a pretty decent defensive tackle go, and then we let another safety go. It seems to me, you know, and, you know, I have the utmost respect for Mr. Reese, but it looks like they're reacting in, you know, they're reacting in a way where they're very concerned about the overall team. So now that we signed Nix and now he's not with us anymore, you know, we really need to replace a defensive tackle, okay? You know, I understand we have defensive ends that can play tackle, but they're not 350 pounds, okay? So, you know, and Dallas, you know what kind of offensive line they have. They're going to just push us all over the field. God forbid we don't score on every possession of the ball. There's no way we're going to be able to win. So my question is do you think the front office is acting in a way of desperation trying to find players today?
You know what? I wouldn't say it's an act of desperation, Mike, because this is something that happens all across the NFL in this first week. You know, everybody on teams follows the waiver wire. They all have players that they're interested in and that are watching for, and that may be signed that first week and that first day once all of that stuff happens. But having said that, when you talk about Nix, who has a knee, when you talk about certain players, you're not just making sure that they're okay right now. You've got to make sure, if you're going to put an investment on him, that they're going to be able to last throughout an entire season. So it's almost like if he's not going to be able to last the entire season, you have to cut your ties now, because you have to get somebody who can come in and play and learn the defense that you can rely on from weeks 10 through 16. So that's an important thing. And, I understand that you're thinking of it as maybe a look of desperation. But I think all teams right now are looking to find that one little extra player that they can add into their rotation or into their lineup that can contribute and can fit into systems. So I think it's paramount that they figure out exactly who the depth and where they're at on the defensive line. But having said that, losing Nix, I don't think that it's a make-or-break thing for the New York Giants.
No, absolutely not. Just want to move forward on another point. With JPP not going to play for at least four games, maybe up to six, who the heck knows, okay? So based on every game, I've calculated that it's about $875,000 a game. So that's about $5 million, okay? What are the chances that we will use some of that money to sign players in their last year of their contract, okay, like Prince or like the quarterback? You know, if you could give these guys upfront cash, okay, then you could save money going forward by not having as big of an impact on the cap going forward.
I completely understand. Yeah, thanks, Mike. I completely understand where you're coming from. Lock up the people in-house that you know who are physically ready, who are going to contribute right now. But I think right now, I think they're still waiting to see where he's going to be able to be and if he's going to be able to contribute this week or this season, whether it's 4 weeks from now, whether it's 6 weeks. The thing about it that you still have is, you know, Prince and you talked about Eli. They're here. They're healthy. And if they're performing the way that they're capable of, then you can continue to move forward with the contract talks. But I think the most important pressing issue, more than long-term contracts, it's now. It's the football season. It's these games. You've got to worry about the precious present because you can't worry about the future right now. There's way too many other areas to address. There's way too many other things that need to be fixed before you're talking about contract situations. That's in my opinion. Granted, I believe Eli deserves the money. I think that he's going to be a Giant for the rest of his career. I don't think that's going to change. But if you talk to Eli, if you talk to anybody in this building, the most important issue right now is putting the best 53-man roster on the field to beat the Dallas Cowboys. That's the thing that you need to worry about right now.
The caller, of course, when he first called in, he talked about having five of you on this roster right now. So that leads me to the offensive line and your thoughts on what you've seen from Ereck Flowers this preseason in the games you saw him play. How impressed are you?
He's made a lot of progress as an offensive lineman. You know, his ability now to understand the offense, which is a very tough thing going from college to the program. He has an understanding of the offense. He's confident in what he's doing. More importantly, you're seeing the confidence in his technique. As an offensive line coach, whether it was mine in college or Coach Flaherty, you're always told trust your technique, because when you trust in your technique, you go out there and you can perform the way that you're capable of. If you start worrying about other factors, about everything, that's when it doesn't go so well for him. I know he's focused on it. He has been willing and eager to learn. He's been asking myself questions. He's been asking Coach Flaherty questions. You see him breaking down film and working extra. He wants to be the best player he can be. And the other thing that I've seen that any offensive lineman coming from college to the pro game is tying your hands and your feet together. Yes, he's had a face mask penalty in the preseason, but the thing that he's doing now is he's throwing his hands, he's getting inside hand control, and the more and more he's playing, the better off he's going to get. So the sky's the limit for him. And the thing that he's really taken on is he has done a great job in the run game. Justin Pugh and Flowers have done a great job of finding that mesh, being on the same page, having cohesive double teams and communication. And the biggest player I think that I've really seen step up on the offensive line is Justin Pugh. His leadership role, taking over things in that offensive line room, not only by what he's saying, but the way that he's worked in and out and throughout camp. And he's really taken on that role of being the one who's going to be in charge of that offensive line. So it's really exciting to see that out of him.
Again, you could hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Big Dash 07088. Contract year for Reuben Randle. Expect him to ball out. Out of curiosity, because you hear this all the time. Oh, this guy's in a contract year. This is his year. This is the year that he needs to ball out so he can get paid. Is that really mentally, does that really, really affect? What would you say the percentage of players in the NFL are like, yeah, man, this is my contract here. This is a year. I really got to have a big year. Give me a percentage. How many in the NFL do you feel put that kind of pressure on themselves?
All of them. Because this is your living. This is your livelihood. And this is your opportunity not only to show who you are as a football player, but to prove to everybody, not only to yourself, but to prove to everybody what your value is and what people should expect from you moving forward. So I think that's something that all players put on themselves. They're not going to come out and say, this is my contract year. But subconsciously, they know that this is a year where they can financially set themselves up for the rest of their lives based on the way that they perform and based on the way that they handle themselves. Like I said, in this situation, Reuben Randle has to do it consistently throughout the entire season to prove who he is on and off the field. He can't have any more incidents where he's late for meetings, where he's not starting the game because of those suspensions type of things and the disciplinary things. That's not what you need. You need to come out and show that day in and day out, you're going to punch the clock, you're going to come to work, and you're going to be somebody that when it's time to get into the game, when things are tough, that they'll be able to rely on you.
201-939-4513 is the phone number to get into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, David Deal. We're going to be here with you every Wednesday afternoon while you take
How exciting.
I know, right?
Yes.
While you take your lunch break, which actually I'm thinking maybe, you know, we can pack a to-go lunch, sit here and like kind of have lunch with our – no, I'm kidding. But we're going to be here every Wednesday for you, noon to 1. Of course, doing a little last-minute recap in regard to the previous week, and definitely looking forward to the following week, which we're really going to dive into the Dallas Cowboys matchup in a hot second. But we're going to continue with your calls as well. Let's go to Joe calling in from PA. He actually wants to talk about the Cowboys game. So, Joe, you're up.
Yes, and first, hi, Anita, and I want to say to David, it is an honor. You'd be a guy you'd want to be in a foxhole with, and I hope Pew could be a young David Deal, you know what I mean, with his versatility and your toughness there.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate the compliment, and I think that he can. He's a consummate worker. He's a selfless player that always puts the team before himself, and like I said, it's been truly a great thing to see Justin step up the way that he has this season.
Yeah, my regards to the Sash family. And how many years is it, Dave, that you have to be in the league to get a retirement?
It's 3 years and three games is when you start breaking into your pension and all the stuff after that.
Okay, I want to thank the vets that left here, like Weatherford, McClain, and Heinoski. You know what I mean? He's out of my area. So, going on to the Dallas game, a big key there I could recall the last game. You know, we were in it up into the end, but then we just couldn't get there. We couldn't get there with the rush on to Romo, where he had 10 seconds or more. So I really think, what do you think? We're going to have to run more kind of stunts or blitzes there if we're not getting to him, David?
You know, that's one of the things that is going to be played out here. Yes, the Giants are going to have to blitz, and they're going to have to find ways to pressure Tony Romo, because when it gets into pass protection situations, some of these backs that the Cowboys have are not the best in picking up blitzes and protections. And that's where Steve Spagnuolo is going to try to confuse, to give different looks, to make sure that he is on the attack and is able to try to set some confusion up between the offensive line and the running backs. But having said that, the key to anything is being able to apply pressure with four, so that you can play coverage, so that you can do different things on the back end by disguising coverages, by not always having to play man-to-man and putting that pressure on your two corners on DRC and Prince when you do attack, because that's what it does. But the biggest factor in all this, the Giants' defensive line has got to win their individual battles and put the Cowboys' offense in third and longs. Everybody thinks that this Dallas Cowboys offensive line is indestructible. Well, this Dallas offensive line also gave up 10 sacks in the two games during the postseason, based upon not being able to be very productive on first and second downs and putting them in third and long situations where they're in one-on-one pass pro. I don't care whether you're a first-year guy or a 10-year vet. Any time that you allow defensive linemen to be able to pin their ears back and attack the quarterback, you're going to lose some of those battles. So that's where the Giants need to really eat up the middle of the field and the middle of the pocket in regards to the defensive line. They've got to stop the run and be stingy on first and second down so that the Cowboys' offense is in third and long situations where their offensive line cannot be the aggressors, where they can't jump set and do the things that they like to do, and they have to set back, and they've got to twist, and they've got to work out stunts. That's the way that the Giants' defensive line is going to be able to pressure.
Don't you feel like, in regard to this Giants' defensive line, I do believe the strength is inside. I mean, with Colin Jenkins and Hankins.
Hankins, yep.
And Bromley. Bromley's impressed me this preseason. I know we got very small sample size of Bromley last year, but I'm really excited to see what he can do this season. I'm pleased with the talent that we have in of course the middle of the defensive line. Are you?
It's very it is, and it's nice that there's a rotation of them, and it's important for them to be disruptive early. The one way to stop any type of run game is to apply any type of pressure into the backfield and penetration in the run game. So for these young backs who aren't as experienced as DeMarco Murray in Dallas, if they're early and they're seeing color flashing in front of their eyes, or they see their offensive lineman getting stand up, they have to, they make short, quick cuts instead of trusting their offensive lineman. So if the Giants defensive line can have early success in the rundowns, that's where you're going to start to see a little bit of panic out of running backs, because they're going to want to see a crease. And if that crease closes quickly, you always go back to the cutback. So it's very important for the Giants defensive line to win on early downs and to do it early to cause some concern in the Dallas Cowboys backfield, to have backs cut, to have backs do it early, right to the flow of where the Giants defense is coming from, so that they don't get that comfort level early that they can do anything that they want to do and dice and cut through the lanes.
I'm hearing out of Dallas that Joseph Randall will get the start. He'll carry anywhere between 15 to 18 times, and then they'll work Darren McFadden in. Again, this is a report coming out of Dallas. That's what we can anticipate, but as you know, anything can change. Richard George on Twitter says, ask Deal, who does he think the hardest defensive lineman to block was in your career? Who was the one guy that you went up with, against on Sunday or Monday night, and you were like, damn, I got to bring my A-plus game?
Well, I mean, in his prime for when playing him, playing the Dallas Cowboys, was DeMarcus Ware. He's one of the only players throughout my 11-year career that no matter what, when you walked up to the line of scrimmage, you weren't looking for the Mike linebacker. You were like, where's number 94? Because of the mismatches that he created. And when his game was on, when he was as dynamic and uninjured early in his career, he was as prolific a pass rusher than anybody I've ever seen. So I would say DeMarcus Ware was definitely one. I mean, Vince Wilfork, trying to dig him out on double teams when he was a nose, when I was a guard, was tough. But the thing you realize when you play in the NFL, week in and week out, you're going to get tested. Your technique is going to get tested. And the most important thing that you need to make sure that you do is from one week to the next, you need to make the corrections from the game before, because they are watching your technique. They're watching each and every flaw that you have. And if you don't do it from the next week to the other, it's like blood in the water, and they're going to be coming downhill attacking right at you.
Interesting. As we know, Vince Wilfork, he leaves the Patriots. He goes to the Texans. You have
him. He's a hell of a kicker, too. We saw that. He could kick a field goal.
Did you see him wearing his dungarees?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
But obviously question marks in regard to him being long in the tooth. What can he bring to the equation in that defensive line? But then you've got J.J. Watt, who now with ESPN, ESPN.com, as well as NFL, NFL.com, was voted number one best player in the league by his peers, by scouts, by general managers.
And then you have a healthy Clowney on the opposite side. So
how good is – I mean, I just looked just to confirm, but no, the Giants do not take on the Houston Texans this year. But how sick is that defensive line going to be, David?
And that's exactly why they signed Vince Wilfork, because of his ability to eat up blockers in the middle so that the guards and the centers have a hard time getting up to the linebackers at the second level in the run game. But he also demands so much presence that you can't just punch and slide your protection, because he is so big and so, I mean, strong. He just presses the pocket. And that's the biggest thing, that as an offensive lineman, the center and the guards are important because they control the depth of the pocket. So you want your quarterback to be able to step up. And if they're getting pushed back, quarterback can't step up. And what's he do? He gets flushed back right into those rush lanes of J.J. Watt and Clowney on the outside. So having him go into that defense is exactly what they needed to eat up the holes, eat up the blockers in the middle, and really apply that inside pressure that is tough on any offensive line to handle.
All right, let's continue with the calls. 201-939-4513. David, we head to Hotlanta. Derek is on board. Derek, welcome.
Hey, Anita. Hi, champ. How's it going?
I'm excellent, Derek. How you doing, my man?
I'm well.
Good.
I was going to say, you know, I'm getting a little nervous about this team. You know, I want to be optimistic and everything, because everybody, you know, we all knew that the offense would have to carry the team. You know, and when I came out there to practice, I actually saw some good things out of the offense at practice. It didn't kind of translate into the game, which got me kind of worried. And I think that's because the wide receivers didn't have a chance to really get together. All three, starting wide receivers, Cruz, Beckham, and Randall, have a lot of time on the field at the same time in the game with Eli. But hopefully that's taking all the snaps now and getting some practice. The offense looked better. That's concerning the Saints offense when they always look like a well-oiled machine. We always knew the defense wasn't going to handle, you know, was not going to score points. But they lost a lot of games scoring 35 points and 25 points. And, you know, so that really has to be concerning that if we don't get this defense situated, we could have some problems.
I think these are all concerns that all fans are having right now. And, you know, I think this is one of the toughest situations that the New York Giants have faced going into a season opener with question marks, not only because of injuries, but because of competition battles at the safety position and still at the offensive line, the rotation of defensive line. These are all questions that need to be answered, and they've got to be addressed very quickly because come Sunday, there's no time for excuses. You had your training camp, you had your mini camp, you had your preseason. Now it's time to go out and perform, and I agree with you. I feel that the timing and the wide receiver route combinations and the route tree that Eli goes through each and every day with his receivers was difficult due to training camp because Odell Beckham Jr. didn't go every day. Reuben Randall didn't go every day. And now when Victor was going, now he has the calf injury. So it's important to hammer out all those things because you can't come away from a game like this because it's the regular season saying, oh, well, you know, he had injuries, time during training camp. That stuff doesn't work now. This is where you have to tie it all together and put your best product on the field because there's no going back after this game. There's no more practice like in the preseason. Say, oh, well, you know, we didn't have our full game plan and we weren't really preparing for a game. There's no more of that. This is where everything counts, where each and every win counts. And more importantly, when you're open up against a division rival, you've got to set the tempo of what you want to do. And you've heard every coach, start fast. This is a time where the New York Giants need to start fast or losing this game can put themselves in a very big bind trying to play catch up down the road.
Let me ask you this. I'm curious. The new collective bargaining agreement and, you know, no more two-day in pads. And, you know, you hear a lot of the veteran guys say, be careful what you wish for, because what happens now is, you know, teams are not really ready for the start of regular season one because of all the lack of practice time and all the strict times that you know the coaches cannot interact with the players. With that being said, the advantage goes to teams that don't have a lot of turnover. When you look at this Giants team, specifically the defense, new defensive coordinator, two new guys at the safety position, you know, JT Thomas, you know, new at the linebacking position because no JPP. There's so much to be learned for the Giants compared to maybe some other teams that are kind of like coming back in with, 20 guys who started last year. It does not help, even more so, it doesn't help those teams that have a lot of turnover, a lot of changes like the Giants do specifically on the defensive side of the ball.
It's a huge difference. Your familiarity and comfort not only in the system but with the verbiage, but more importantly, being comfortable with the players that you're playing around, your teammates, that goes a long way. And when you're doing it in a fashion where you have a new defensive coordinator, where you're implementing all different types of systems, where you're trying to figure out who your defensive starters are, that puts a big onus on everything where every rep in practice and in the preseason counts. And then if you look at the other side of the ball, look at how many strides this offense has made, being able to put more things in, being able to have their second year in this Ben McAdoo offense.
Right.
You hear each and every player talk about how much more comfortable they are in the system. So it's no coincidence that that's the way it goes. And it's no coincidence that the teams that have the same core veteran players, the same core offense, how many starters they come back, but more importantly, that have the same coaching staff, that they start faster.
201-939-4513. We go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. And funny show. I didn't think you'd be talking about the store, Justice, taking your daughter there. My wife, like, she's telling the story that I don't have a daughter, but my wife is a thin Asian lady. So she was embarrassed because she went in there and bought a bathing suit. But I wasn't embarrassed. You know, I didn't think it was bad, but she was definitely embarrassed that she had to shop in there. But speaking of Asia and Thailand, there's a great movie called No Escape. Owen, I think, Pochman is the star. It's like a real good thriller that was filmed in Thailand, but we're more excited for Sunday night. And I wanted to ask, with Eric Flowers, when I met you, Anita, at the J Fund charity this before training camp, I believe when I saw Eric Flowers, he was really disappointing, like out of shape. Marcus Kuhn was the opposite. He was like chiseled. So I was very unimpressed with his lack of, symmetry, and he just looked like a big blob. So what is his shape now? And I'll just ask the other two questions. Dallas, their offensive line, they had injuries in the season, so are they still going into the season with injuries? And my final question that I wanted to ask David is, I know you guys always want to be on the field, but why in the NFL, when they have, say, either a rookie that they trust or a backup that's a veteran, why don't they put them in a little bit more without really breaking the chemistry, just to give you guys a breather, you know, 5 plays or 10 plays? So those were my three questions, Eric Flowers' condition and the Dallas offensive line, and the big guy that went to the Raiders, they did that when he was a rookie. Let them come in and bulldoze. But thanks for taking my call, and I'll listen off air.
Andrew, thank you. So every year, head coach Tom Coughlin has his J Fund event, and he brings in these young kids. It's I get so emotional. He brings in these young kids that unfortunately have been diagnosed with cancer.
I've been a part of it.
Yeah. And
the ice cream social. And
oh
all
my gosh. It's like,
it's the greatest thing for the kids. You see them trying on the big shoulder pads and the helmet and just, you know, enjoying being a kid where they go through so much day in and day out, whether it's through chemotherapy or just the difficult things that they go through. You see that just the smiles and the laughter and the joy in their eyes. And it just, it brings out the best in you, because knowing how important it is for them. So to go back,
it's such an emotional day.
It
but,
is.
But probably one of the highlights of the day is when they get to go into the weight room.
Yeah.
And all the rookies are there working out. This is what the call was alluding to. And Flowers was there working out. Now this is right after he signed.
Okay.
So so obviously the conditioning. Not every, I think, college player. They make that trend. Besides Double O, who to me is just like. He doesn't look like a rookie, David.
No.
Come on.
No,
I mean, he's got a body of like a 5-year vet in the NFL, if you ask me. There are those that you can kind of put off to the side and say, well, he's special. But I think I think the body and I think the workout and I think the growth of a player coming from college into the NFL takes a while.
Yeah, and you got to remember, he's still only 21 years old.
Right.
He's going to develop, and he put up huge numbers at 225 at the combine. He's athletically gifted. He's a big guy, but he can move. So even though the offensive linemen aren't always the fashion models or the cover boys, doesn't mean that it takes away from who they are as a football player. I think he's in great shape. He's been playing and play out. And as an offensive line, I know you talked about a rotation. It's tough. It's tough to rotate as an offensive line. Number one, I've never done it in my career, nor have I really seen it work successfully, because of the flow of the game. Each and every drive is different. Each and every drive, you're going to see something differently. And when you're going through a game, you've got to go through things full speed, and you've got to see it with your own eyes. That's the one thing that you go to the sideline, you look at those pictures, and you go through it. But the next time you see it and you visualize it, you can pick it up so much quicker because you've actually been through that rep before. As in rotating guys and having somebody else come in, yeah, you may talk about it on the sidelines. You may see it on a piece of paper or on the tablets when they're showing you what happened during that play. But going through it physically is a whole nother dimension. So I'm not a fan, nor would I ever, if I was an offensive line, work on a rotation or anything like that. I know that sometimes you're in a situation where you have to. But at the same time, you've got to put your 5 best players out on the field and develop that cohesiveness throughout so that they can blend and develop all together at the same time instead of moving parts here and there. It's like the running back committee. I'm not a fan of that because you don't let players get into the flow of the game.
There's an ebb and flow to every football game, and
you've got to get into that
vibe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm with you. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line 2. Will is calling in from the Bronx. Will, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Anita. How you doing, David?
We're doing great, Will. Great to hear from you from the Boogie Down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for the years of service, man. You did an awesome job. I appreciate it.
How can we help you, Will?
Congratulations to the show, man. It's been a little difficult calling in. I suppose you guys got a whole lot of calls coming in.
Talk about a great Wednesday for Will here.
Okay. Well, it's a great Wednesday. I just wanted to just make a comment about some of the off-season moves Jerry made early in the off-season and how it's impacting our team today. And where I'm going with that is we got Marcus Coon starting. And I remember you had a caller yesterday that was really down on Marcus Coon. I know Marcus Coon is really strong, and I'm wondering if that's the reason why they got him starting in that interior. What do you say?
I think that's something.
Thank you
that
for the call, by
thank
way.
You, Will. I think that's something that you have to have as an interior defensive lineman. You've got to be able to sit, anchor against double teams. You've got to work and be stout at the point of attack. And the biggest thing as a defensive tackle is you've got to be able to allow your linebackers to run and make plays, especially downhill. So it's important for him to play well in this rotation with Hankins, with Jenkins, and with Bromley and cause havoc and cause production, because that's the only way that you're going to stay on the field. And I know it's tough, and I know, you know, he may not be a player who has the sack production that you need, but if you can go out there and produce on first and second down, eat up blockers and put your defense in the best position and putting offenses in third and long, you've done your job. It's not always about numbers. Sometimes it's about doing the dirty work and just going in and being those stout point of attack players, which Marcus Coon has the capability of being. Sometimes he does. He has to work better against double teams and make sure that he doesn't get twisted and turned at the point of attack. But you're right. He is a big, strong, stout guy who they think the sky's the limit now with the game experience that he'll receive this year.
This is, again, hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Nucleo Bones.
Wow.
Okay. Do you see Andre Williams having more carries this season than his rookie year? I'm curious to get your thoughts on how you think this backfield is going to define itself. We don't want to go earth, wind, and fire yet.
Not yet, no.
No. Too soon.
No. But I think early on, I think it's going to be crucial for Shane Vereen to be able to run the ball successfully, because if he isn't able to come in on first and second downs and add that spark as a running back, then just bringing him in on third downs and in certain situations is not going to matter. You have to have a two-way player in Shane Vereen this season in order for the catches out of the backfield and the screens to work, and so that you don't have a defense that once he comes in say, okay, here comes a pass. You've got to have that playmaking ability, which I think he has. I think he is an underrated running back. So if you get production out of him as a running back, not only is his catching ability out of the backfield, that will open up things for Andre Williams to be able to come in and spell. I think Andre Williams has done a much better job this season of having better vision and better patience.
Have you seen the special goggles?
The special goggles that he's been wearing in order.
Have you?
Because
I put those on. I tried to catch a football in the pink and blue racquetballs. It's tough.
It is. It's very
and
tough.
And he spends like 30, 45 minutes a day working on that.
And that's great, because going back and watching film, the staff knows and he knows that there were yards left on the field based with him running into the back of an offensive lineman, not trusting for the hole to open up, where it's that split second. In college game, that hole will open up, you know, and you can really take your time and hit it. In the pros, that, boom. It's a hit or miss. There's no in between. And that's where you have to hit that hole quick and run through arm tackles. So that's something that the Giants are dependent on, and they feel that he's done a better job with that.
All right. We're going to continue with your calls, 201-939-4513. But I do want to get your thoughts in regard to this week's matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. Let's start with the offense first and foremost. Again, big question mark whether or not Victor Cruz will be available or not. If not, Preston will start in that slot position. What do you game plan wise? How do you, you know, if you had to sit and you were to write out the first 12 to 16 plays in regard to how you'd like to see this offense start off against that Dallas Cowboys defense, which is, there's a lot of question marks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no Greg Hardy. I know Sean Lee is back, but no Greg Hardy. what would you like to see this Giants offense accomplish in the first few snaps, let alone maybe two series?
I think that it's important that they get the run game going to open up things and play action for themselves. I think it's important for them to address everything at the line of scrimmage. It's communication is huge on the road. So in this offense where Eli has the checks, the communication, all that stuff at the line of scrimmage, they have to make sure that they're crisp, talking, communicating to one another, and disciplined with the snap count. The other things that they have to do in order to open up this offense, running the ball opens up the play action and it opens up everything. This is not a situation where they can rely on Eli dropping back and max protection each and every third down. They've got to make sure that they have third and manageable 4 to 6 where they can be aggressive, where they can throw different things at this Dallas defense and really alienate what their weakness is, and that's their safeties and that's their defensive backfield. If they're able to do that, that's the way that this Giants offense is going to be able to flow and manage and control the time of possession, which is important because, like I said earlier, Tony Romo is going to be a veteran quarterback who's going to come to the line. He's going to use as much as the play clock as he can possible to use hand signals, to use checks, to do whatever he can to put his offense in the best position to succeed based on seeing if he can get the defense to show their hand. If John Beeson is not able to play, they're going to test Unga and they're going to test Landon Collins. They're going to test two young players and they're going to try to throw different formation, different schemes to try confusing them and getting them to eat up in the play action so they can take shots behind their backs.
In looking at, on the, as you said, looking on the, well, actually, before we do start talking defense, I'm just curious. You've got Eric Flowers coming in, Mr. Blindside. Sunday night, bright lights, big stage, Sunday night football, the primetime game at Dallas in Jerry's home. How nervous is he going to be?
I mean, you're nervous. I mean, I played throughout 11 seasons, and I was always nervous before the game until that first hit. When you're nervous, it means that it's important to you and you care about it. So it is. It's a huge step up for him. But the players that he's playing up against, as long as he plays in his game and he's physical and doesn't try to do too much, just go out and play. Go out and perform. You're here for a reason because you love the game and you love playing the game of football. One of the guys that he's going to be going up against as a defensive end is Randy Gregory, who's a fellow rookie. Another player that he's going to go up against is DeMarcus Lawrence, who came on strong last season at the end, but is also another player vying to make a mark on that defense. It would be a whole different story if he was coming out and Greg Hardy was there week one getting ready to amp up. So I think it's important for the Giants offense to build confidence in their offensive line by running the ball successfully, by putting it behind them. And that way it'll open up things in the play action so that you're not dropping back and don't have that pressure each and every third down on you.
All right, switching over on the defense. Obviously, you know, you constantly hear how great this Dallas Cowboys offensive line is, the best in the NFL, maybe the best ever to play in the NFL. So obviously the pressure on this Giants defense is that defensive line. What do you feel? Well, first of all, do you agree with that? Do you feel the Dallas Cowboys offensive line is the best in the NFL? And do you think that's going to be the biggest challenge for this defense on Sunday night?
I think it is going to be a challenge because they're going to lean on their offensive line to do the grunt work up front, control the tempo of the game, and really dictate the way that the game is run from the front of the offensive line on. They want to establish the run game. They want to get these running backs comfortable. But like I said, the ability of the Giants to be able to stop the run and put the Dallas offensive line in third and long positions, just like any offensive line, that's where you alienate the weaknesses of each and every player. Doug Free's a player that if you put him in a third and long situation, that is a battle that DeMontre Moore or Robert Ayers can win. But you have to put him in those one-on-one situations where it's third and long. And like I said, this Dallas offensive line, yes, they've done a great job of dictating offense. They've been done a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage. But when they've had struggles, when they gave up 10 sacks during the postseason, when they gave up 30 during the regular season, that was all done by stopping them on first and second down and making them play one-on-one pass rush.
Do you think it's been somewhat arrogant of the Dallas Cowboys to go into the season saying, our offensive line is so good that we find that we're going to have success with whoever we put back there with Joseph Randle and Darren McFadden? It's not like they went out and they were aggressive knowing that there was a chance that they were going to lose DeMarco Murray. As we know, he's no longer there. He's in Philadelphia. But kind of coming into this season saying, you know what? I could put Anita Marks back there, and she'll rush for 100 yards a game.
But, I mean,
what
do you
expect? That's kind of arrogant, don't you think?
I think it is arrogant to some extent. But what do you expect them to say? Oh, well, we're a little worried because of who's in the backfield.
No, it's not about what they're going to say.
It's about what they didn't do. I understand.
I don't know. You know what? Maybe Joseph Randall will surprise us all. Look, not a guy that I own on any of my fantasy football rosters. So my expectation level of him is very low, especially since, you know, we don't know. We're hearing 15 carries, maybe 18 carries. Don't know how that dynamic is going to work out with him and Darren McFadden. But again, I find it interesting. I think it's going to be a really interesting storyline for me, especially in the NFC East. How good is this Dallas rushing attack going to be behind that offensive line, considering there's no household name back there?
I think that's what we're all waiting to determine, because
right.
They are saying like it's a plug and play. They feel they can put any running back there with this offensive line, and it's going to get done. DeMarco Murray is a hell of a football player who plays through injuries, who is out there each and every game, and who grinds throughout a four-quarter game. You don't always have that in Randall and in the backups in McFadden, who's been injury-plagued.
Every year.
You don't have that guy and that bell cow that you think, okay, I can just give him the ball and he's going to get 3 to 4 yards a pop. You don't have that guy. So now it is a point where it is a whole thing where each and everybody is going to watch this Dallas Cowboys offensive line from here on out and say, well, they were as good as we thought, or DeMarco Murray was that good of a running back and now they're missing him.
All right, we're going to finish off with two calls. We got to make it quick. I apologize. Let's go to line 4. Barbara's calling in from New Jersey. Barbara, what do you have for us?
Hi, guys. I just also wanted to bring up the Dallas game because, you know, people are forgetting that their offensive line, they also had injuries throughout the whole preseason.
Yep.
They didn't play any games or practice together, any of the starters. Then you had Dez out. Romo also missed some practices. And, you know, plus, you know, their defense, they're missing, you know, Hardy and McClain. Skandrick is gone. But I remember last year, with Romo and the bad back that he had, he was out a lot of the preseason games just for precaution. And they started out really, really shaky and looked bad against the 49ers because they were out of sync. So I know that they're really under the gun trying to get everybody at practice today. And I still don't think that they're all really healthy. But, you know, I think that's definitely going to make a difference because I don't think they're going to come out and, you know, light up the whole sky. I think they're going to have some issues.
Barbara, that's a great point.
Thank you for your call, Barbara.
It's all very important and it's all relevant because each and every rep that you get during the preseason, each and every snap that you take in practice gives you and builds that confidence that you have to have in one another. When certain players aren't on the field, some guys can be gamers. Other guys cannot, where you need that practice rep. I was one of those players. I knew I couldn't miss practice. I knew I wasn't a player who could just go out there and perform on Sundays because I knew mentally I had to go through every single situation possible and do it physically on the field. So this is a time that people think, oh, this is the Dallas Cowboys that closed out the season running the football, doing it. This is a whole new Cowboys team, and you never know who is going to come out playing at the top caliber football that they possibly can. So there are adjustments and there have been moves and there are things that the Dallas Cowboys have to address, just like the New York Giants heading into week one.
Let's end
great
with Jeff,
call.
Right?
Great call by
I know,
Barbara.
I know. I love when women call into the show and they like and they bring it strong and
they like
got great questions. Let's go to line 1. We're going to end with Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, what do you have for us?
Hey, Nina and David, how are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Okay, well, it's good. David, I just want to compliment you on your style of announcing in the booth. I like the fact that you're not just a talking head in there, and you explain to us why things are happening, and in that regard, you're like a teacher, and I think that means a whole lot. That's what's going to separate you from a lot of other people that do that job, I believe, in years to come.
Greatly appreciate it.
Well, you deserve it. Anita, I don't necessarily agree with you on the, you know, the offense having to score 38 points a game. I mean, whatever. I mean, we may have to, but on the other hand, the defense is going to have to come up and play stout at times. And, you know, we have to do that. We haven't done that in recent seasons. And we have to make a stop on third down when it has to be done. I mean, if you stop the other guy from scoring, he's not going to win many games, is he?
No.
And, I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. But also, Anita, I wanted you to write down my prediction on the wall there behind the bobble, the giant bobblehead doll. I hate to say this, but I don't see the Giants winning more than five games this year. I can only go on what I've seen fairly or unfairly from the preseason games I've been able to watch on the NFL Network replays. And I just haven't seen a whole lot there to get me excited about what's going on. And as I said, I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't see them winning a hell of a lot of games this year. So thank you for taking my call, and have a good day, guys. You
made some nice points about the Giants' defense.
Yeah,
but
way to end on a negative Nelly,
though,
Dave.
But the one thing that he left out is something that this Giants' defense has got to do is they've got to create turnovers. They've got to force fumbles, and they've got to get interceptions for this defense to thrive, to put themselves in the best position to succeed, but more importantly, to give this offense more opportunities to control the tempo of the game, to keep the defense fresh, and put points on the board.
I'm going to do this reluctantly because it's such a negative Nelly.
Did you write his name?
I'm going to.
Okay.
I will in a minute. But I just what a way to end the show. Not fun. Anyway, so first week, pretty exciting stuff. You did a show with Paul DeTino earlier today.
Yep.
Right? What's the name of that show again?
It was the press conference show.
Press Conference Live.
Yes.
Right, with Tom Coughlin. That's going to be every Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. You'll be able to tune in on the MSG Network as well as watch via the web on Giants.com. And then you make your way in here with me every Wednesday from noon to 1, talking all things Big Blue as we get ready for the opponent ahead. And then what else are you doing with the Giants this year?
Well, the weeks that I do not have a Fox game, I will be running the post-game shows as well.
Look at that.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Are you in tomorrow for are you in for 1st and 10? Are you going to be doing 1st and 10?
No, I am not in tomorrow for 1st and 10.
Oh,
no, I am not.
That makes me sad.
I know. But we've got our show all year.
No, I know. I know. I mean, you know, give me an inch, I'll take a mile. he is David Deal. I'm Anita Marks. We thank you so much for tuning in today. Hopefully you enjoyed your lunchtime break. If you missed any portion of the show, it will be up on Giants.com momentarily for you to watch as a podcast as well. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
Thanks for calling. Have a great one.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broken, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.